I'm going to recite his blessing before reading the Brit Hadashah portion. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher netan lanu Mashiach Yeshua v'charaberot shel habrit hadashah. Baruch atah Adonai noten habrit hadashah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe. You have given us Messiah Yeshua and the commandments of the new covenant. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the new covenant. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Today we're doing the Brit Hadashah portion of for this week, and it's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 1. And as is with most of the Gospels, these are probably the scriptures that we all know the most, heard the most, but I want to talk about this today in light of the season that we're living in, or really the day we're living in, the 21st of Elul, as we approach the holy days. So again, Matthew 7, 1, and this is from the Complete Jewish Bible, so it may look a little different than what you're reading. Don't judge so that you won't be judged, for the way you judge others is how you will be judged. The measure with which you measure out will be used to measure to you. Why do you see the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, when you have the log in your own eye? Very classic scripture. And typically the one who is being corrected, you know, can get offended pretty quickly if and when they perceive that you're coming at them with some tweezers in one hand for their splinter, but on the other side you've got a roof pole is how it's really translated in Hebrew, sticking out of your own eye. And we've all been through this before, and maybe we've, if we're honest, we'll say that we've probably been on both sides. And typical human nature is we've been the ones with the log pole in our eye more than we've been the one with the splinter. That's kind of the idea. And the thing about it is that we talk about when Yeshua has to say something and do something, then why does he have to say and do something or give an instruction? Just because? It's necessary because what? Because people aren't doing it, so they need to be corrected and instructed. So always look at that. This is the, you know, we talked about the who, what, where, when, why, and how. Well, this is the why. Because it was happening enough to where he said something about it amongst his people. Yeshua in chapter 6 had just taught his Talmudim about forgiveness. We talked about this last week, or releasing people. And now being in the month of Elul, forgiveness or pardoning, slichot, is right in the center of our thoughts. Rabbi Shapiro has been doing a thing every day. If you get online, I think it's like about 10 minutes, a little slichot, or a kind of a plea to God for forgiveness and an encouragement put on the site. So that's what we should be asking for, is forgiveness from Adonai in this season, but also considering this idea of, man, you know, have I gone to someone this year with a telephone pole sticking out of my eye? You know, and not even realized it. Has someone come to me with the telephone pole in their eye, the roof beam? These are very sensitive issues. But at the end of the day, if things are done the right way, we're called to actually go and help remove the splinter out of our brother's eye if he doesn't know it's there. But not while we still have the beam in our eye. See, we talk a lot about how you do things is important as what you do. Sometimes it's how you do things will stop you from doing what you're called to do. Sometimes how we do things is even more important than what we do. So Yeshua had been teaching them about forgiveness and releasing people. And now we've come to him teaching on withholding certain types of judgments against other people. You know, when you forgive someone, when someone comes to you and they ask you for a pardon or to be released of the responsibility for the whatever they did. We're called to release them, right? And connected with that is this idea of judgment. So rather than just release them, now you've judged them. Someone comes and say, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I told you that lie. And they explain to you why they had a reason or they had no reason. They just flat out lied to you. But in either case, we're supposed to receive that plea for forgiveness and release them of any obligation to do anything else about it. That's it. It's done. But we can say, oh, you know, they leave and, oh, that person, they're a liar. Now in our heart, we've judged them. However, we fail to see the 10 lies we told since we had interacted with the person. And this is at the center of what Yeshua is teaching here. Okay, you want to forgive them? That's great. I'm telling you to do that. Release them. But now you still need to judge this right. You need to release them of that too. Or else it's like half-hearted forgiveness, where someone tells you they've forgiven and releasing you, but really they didn't. You can look now and see they're still holding something. They're still passing a judgment. So this is kind of what we're dealing with here. And he's explaining to his Talmudim how to discern between different types of judgments. How many of you know the words that we say to others, they ought to be measured and thought out first? We know someone, Stacy and I, we've known for years, and the person has a reputation of being no filter. We just say whatever they want to say whenever in front of anybody and think nothing of it. You know, and you have this idea, you've heard of this, it's kind of like an idiom. You talk about someone, say, you know, I can't take them anywhere. That idea. You know, you're kind of sitting like, please don't let them say something, you know, off color or insensitive or offensive, or you fill in the blank and you can't be comfortable because you just don't know. That kind of idea. So the words we say should be thought about. They should be filtered. They should be measured. They should bring life and edification with them. They shouldn't bring accusation or judgment or evil or putting down anything other than building someone up and seeing them through the eyes of Messiah. That's kind of what we should be shooting for. Amen? So we shouldn't just open our mouths and just say the first things that comes to our mind. What a relationship ruiner. You ever had a relationship ruined by someone just, and maybe they even said the truth. Maybe it was factual, but how they said it and when they said it and why they said it and in front of whom they said it, I mean, none of that was good. And it just went against the good things that they had to say. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. And we also know the situations we get involved in when we want to say something and we don't. And we recognize, no, don't say that. You may want to, just because your feelings are hurt, don't say it, because it's going to escalate. It's going to make things worse, etc. All of these things they will wreck relationships. It brings me to my next section here. If you ever use your lips to pass a judgment that you later realize you shouldn't have said anything. And it's tough. You know, this is why we have the holy days with the time of repenting, making teshuvah, making tikkun of things that we did in the last year. Because, you know, you go a whole year, you're going to do something or say something, perhaps, that you wish you could take back. Well, this is the time of year to make it right. There's a designated time. Can you make it right any other time of the year? Sure. But it's wonderful when Adonai gives you specific times for a specific type of action, a specific type of teshuvah, a specific type of tikkun, and we're in the middle of it right now. And it reminds me of the saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. I remember that saying a whole lot growing up, and it's always good to put it into use. But especially You shouldn't say anything out when you have your own issues going on that others can see. And they might think we're ignoring our own issues and shining the light on theirs instead. You've heard the saying, the pot calling the kettle black, or similar kind of an idea of, oh, you're one to talk, that kind of idea we got to be careful about. So what all of these situations we just talked about, and many others we didn't, all of that being said, Yeshua is saying when there is a time when you're called to make a judgment concerning your brother, make sure first you deal with yourself. We even see it connected to bringing an offering to the temple. If you bring an offering to the temple in there and you realize that you've got aught against your brother, go back, make the tikkun as best you can do, and then come back and bring your offerings and God will accept it. So what's he saying in that? You go around causing a lot of problems and stirring up stuff and tearing things up, and then you want to come to me and say, oh, God, forgive me. He said, no, go take care of that. What are you doing? Go take care of these things first and then come back. The way the verb is formed in this passage indicates it is a human habit to render unfair judgment when we're called to remove the splinter from our brother's eye. And this is the other part of it. Are we called to remove the splinter from our brother's eye that he has trouble removing? Yeah. Are we especially called to be careful with it? Yeah. When Scripture talks about iron sharpening iron, when Scripture talks about bearing one another's burdens, when Scripture talks about if you see a brother in a sin that leads not to death, basically go talk to him and try and bring him back and restore him, there's an obligation to the community and other people. What if you go and you hit a wall and you can't? The person will not let you come in and get any closer and to do anything else. What do? See, this is part of judgment too. Then you do the best you can do and you move on, but the obligation is off of you too. And then the obligation is on you not to make the same mistake again in the first place. So all of this stuff is rolled into what's going on here. Rabbi Hillel said, we should not judge a man until we've been in his situation. You've heard the term, the Indian term, you know, we should not judge someone before unless we've walked 100 miles in their moccasins or something to that effect, or in somebody else's shoes. And it's very easy to walk on the sideline and judge a ball game and its players when we've never walked in their shoes. Maybe we've never even played the game that they're playing once. You've heard the term Monday morning quarterback. All of these things are right in the wheelhouse of this message that Messiah is teaching here. How much more so should we not judge one another when we have not walked in the things they've walked in? When we're not going through the things they're going through? When we don't even know what they're going through? Whether they chose to walk in these things intentionally or not. Well, they chose to go in sin, so then they're fair game to judge. No. They're fair game to pray for and to try and help, do what you can do to help out of that situation, especially this time of year. All of Israel is coming to Messiah. Laurel talked about the people all together. I mean, heavy heart. Sincere heart coming together saying, Lord, forgive me. I want my name written in the book of life again for next year. That's their singular focus, is that. Brother, have I done you wrong? Forgive me. We'll see when we watch Ushpizin in a few weeks ago, this whole idea of, you know, release me, release me, release me. You know, release me from the sin I have sinned against you. In a way that we don't see a lot in America. America, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and that's it. If you get that, totally different idea. The sages in the Mishnah spent a lot of time talking about this idea, which we'll one day read about and get to some. So this brings us to the next set of the next section of this, Matthew 7, 5. You hypocrite, first take the log or the roof beam out of your own eye, then you will see clearly so that you can remove the splinter from your brother's eye. And some of the ideas, some of the understanding in Judaism that connects to being forbidden to judge people in this manner. This idea of, you know, they're trying to deal with a little, what perceivably is something little in them. We have something big going on in us and ignoring it. So one of these reasons is to be careful judging is that we need to make sure we have pure motives when we're doing this. Two, we need to make sure we have a balanced understanding of what's fair in the situation. Not everybody's the same. Not every situation is the same. Three, we need to make sure we have adequate knowledge of the particular situation. And four, we need to recognize that ultimately only God is the ultimate judge. We just have our parts we play, our limited parts we play on earth here. And kind of baked into this cake is this idea and understanding that we often make terrible judges from a position of our own fallen condition, from a condition or a position of our own problems. Yeshua gives us all a remedy for this condition. He gave them a remedy for this condition to remember. He said, remember how you judge, you'll be judged using the same measuring stick. How interesting it is to note the pole in our eye is made out of the same thing, wood, as a splinter in our brother's eye. How often do we accuse in others what we excuse in ourselves? And perhaps the only reason we can recognize this little splinter in someone else's eye is because we have the same piece of wood in our own eye. And these are all the things that he was talking about and trying to convey to them. The original language, again, it alludes to this idea of a splinter and a whole roof beam from the house. We recognize a small sin in someone else's life because that same sin condition may exist in us 10 times as much, 100 times, 1,000 times. That's how we even recognize it in the first place. These are all the things we need to consider, especially this time of year when we're asking at a night during this appointed time for a special, you know, chesed and mercy and understanding. Perhaps it's like the bank robber trying to remove the splinter from the eye of a pickpocket. That's how he recognizes it. Yeshua is telling everybody who can hear, it's a bad habit. Amen? Say, it's a bad habit. Amen. And it's especially a bad habit this time of year. Every year that I can really think of being messianic, around Pesach, or around the Fall Hagim, someone close, family member, a fellow someone from the congregation, or just go off on me for no reason. And so now I expect it. I'm waiting for it. And this is the big and. You ready for the big and? I'm not offended by it. We were listening to Rabbi Bernstein yesterday. I was finishing up my Perkei Avot course, and Stacy was in the kitchen listening. And I had it loud enough for her to hear. And you guys have heard Rabbi Bernstein. And he's a very loving, likable person on one hand. On the other hand, he's a very no-nonsense kind of a guy. And so you have to know him to recognize these things. And so he was talking about, no one has the power to offend you. And so questions were being taken. And so someone came in and they were talking about, oh, you know, my family did this and we had an agreement. They did this and I feel like this. Now I'm offended, blah, blah, blah. He said, wait a minute. Wait. You had an agreement. You kept your side of the agreement. They broke the agreement. Now they're mad at you. Don't be offended about it. Don't let it hurt your feelings. If you're offended by it and it's hurting your feelings because you're letting it. Now, there's that initial, someone slaps you in the face and you feel it, but you get to decide what to do from there, is the whole idea of just not letting it even. Each year I do it and it's easier and easier. I don't think anything of it anymore, to the point where people get mad at me because I don't get mad about something. And he talked about, too, the difference between being offended and being angry. Two different things. Yeshua, when he went to the Temple Mount and he saw the money changers, what they were doing, was he offended or was he angry? He was angry. And anger caused him to do the righteous thing, which is to turn over the tables and to put it to an end. He wasn't offended. It wasn't an offense. He wasn't talking about it 6 weeks later, how his feelings were hurt, how he was so offended, it happened, it was done, that was it. And he went and he delivered swift, adequate, righteous judgment in the time. That was it. That was all. That's it. This is the same kind of idea. As we enter and continue to move through this time of Elul, should be our idea. You know, I'm not going to be offended. I'm in the time where I'm asking God help me, forgive me. So now I'm going to stop. I'm in the presence, heading to the presence of God, stop, because somebody wants to be used by the adversary to come and bring an accusation or a bad judgment. What should I do? Should I just turn around and deal with them and forget about it? I'm heading towards, the clock is ticking towards the Hagim. And I'm worried about what this one, no. Expect it to happen. And be prepared when it happens. Do you remember the 10 virgins? 5 of them fully expected imminently, anytime the bridegroom can come and we're ready to go. 5 of them, not only did they expect that and see that, but they could also see the other 5 weren't ready at all. And so the question comes up then, okay, well, what's going to happen when the bridegroom comes? Am I going to turn around to try and help them out? Or is my focus going to be in the bridegroom coming so I can go meet him? This is where we are. Our focus needs to be on the Father in the field coming amongst his people. He'll be proclaimed as king on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or Yom Teruah. He'll Sukkot, he will tabernacle with us in the Sukkah. And then the holy day of the year is the day he finally comes and is with us forever. This is what we're looking to. We don't have time to mess around with this other stuff. And with other people who have no idea what time it is. I mean that literally and figuratively. None. Someone called me or tried to call me to repent of something that they did publicly. And I put them off last week, but I'm going to call them this week and let them talk to me. I didn't have the time. But they don't even know what season we're in. But I can't not allow them to make this tikkun during this time. So I will. I don't want to do it, but I will. I have a choice to be at peace with God. Judging things properly and righteously starts off with looking in the mirror at ourselves. Amen? Hallelujah. So Yeshua reminds them to remember that how they judge others is how they too will be judged. Are you asking for forgiveness here? How you've forgiven other people is going to be the measuring stick. That's it. Maybe you think you have a yardstick you've given for forgiveness, but you're giving a little, you know, a little 12-inch ruler of forgiveness out. Well, that's okay, that's it. That's the stick. That's the third stick. that you're going to be measured by. And how they and how we should carefully approach the thoughts we have. And he goes on to make the following statement, Shabbat Shalom. Matthew 7:6, don't give to dogs what is holy and don't throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and attack you. We also need to be careful what we're saying around people who just don't know any better. That's part of this. We need to judge that. Is someone even worthy to listen to the precious things that Adonai has given me, in particular in this season? Or is that going to set me back and cause me to stumble as Hashem is calling me closer and he's there waiting for me? When they don't even care. They don't even know. They don't even care to know. Make sense? When he says this, he's saying we need to judge and know the difference between the holy and the common or the profane. And he has these two opposites at work. A dog, which is common. They're everywhere. And it's also profane in that it's not kosher to eat. And the other side, that wood is holy. Not perfect or righteous, but set apart for a particular cause, for a particular use. Then he goes even deeper and he says, pearls, which are not holy, but they're a rare example. They're rare. And they're a rare example, one of the few examples we have of the usefulness of an unkosher animal or creature. And on the other side of that, we have a pig, the most unkosher animal of them all. So there we are, they are to be able to judge between the totally unkosher and rare, a rare, beautiful thing that comes forth from an unkosher source as well. We deal with a lot of unkosher people in a lot of ways, yet we still receive rare and precious things from them too that we need to judge. We can't look at them like a pig, totally unkosher. At the same time, we need to know these pearls that we put out there, if they're worthy even for those pearls to be put in front of them. There's a lot of things we need to judge that we're expected to be more proficient at than people who don't know any better. And I guarantee you, if you don't believe this, or if you believe it to a certain degree, Adonai will send people to you and he'll prove it out to you. And you'll say, now to see what he's talking about. And he won't even judge them. He's looking at you. What are you going to do about it? You know better. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? And then when you think you're proficient at that, he'll send someone else who's even worse. The closer you get to him, he'll send somebody who's closer to the adversary. Praise you, Lord. Remember, later they will be begging, or actually they'll begin to teach the nations and to be judges of them as well. Thank you. Nothing just happens for a reason or by itself where it's just this isolated event that happened, that was it. No, it has a precedent coming up to it, and it has expectations leaving from it. And he never leaves you where he wants you to go back in anything. He always calls you forward whether you move forward or not. Don't ever think that he's happy where I am. He doesn't want me to do anything else but right here. I've been doing it for 50 years and that's all he ever wants me to do. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And you know, the older we get set in our ways even more. You know, in a lot of ways, we get harder. You know, that what was a nice soft beam, a green tree in our eye has now become a hard rock. Thank you for being honest. And we need to know these things, amen? And judgment. Why do we even have to have judgment? Yeah. Being a judge is not cut and dry. Things are not always black and white. They're not always full or empty. If that was the case, there would be no need for a judge. Judgment happens in the gray area. It happens between the drop of water in the cup and the cup overflowing. That's where judgment happens. When we talk about people today, we often use the term, they have good judgment, or they have poor judgment. In class a few weeks ago, there was one of the teachers there, finished yeshiva, been ordained and not married, wonderful woman, a good friend of ours. And she said, well, you know, I wouldn't want to go and say something to someone because I'm not married. I don't have a covering, so I'd have to be careful. So Rabbi, who was there that day, said, oh, well, you know, if you were in my congregation, I'd have no problem using you to judge these situations because I can see your judgment, your biblical judgment is good. How you carry yourself is good. This is where we want to be at. Where if there was a need of a Bet Din, a house of judgment, and a few of us got together, we had to make a life or death decision about something, we could do it biblically, equitably, fairly, in a way to render the appropriate judgment and be able to go to bed and sleep at night knowing that we did the best we can do. And then maybe a year down the road, we realize, man, I could have done better than that. And we have something else come again. We give a different judgment. We did the best we can do with that too. That's the idea. Amen? So listen to this. It takes no special skill to judge whether or not something is black or white, or whether the cup is full or empty. But what about when you're put into a position to judge someone from the nations who doesn't know Torah or the words of Torah itself? This is what they were about to be called into, to go on to the nations. How can we go on to the nations and do what? Judge them. Based on what? Based on Torah. You know Torah? Yeah. They don't know anything. You got to judge them based on words they don't even know. Righteously. So what do they do? Right here, they would need to learn what to do. And we see in chapter 8 and later, we see this happens. Matthew 15:21. Talking about judgment, talking about the nations and all these kind of things. Yeshua left that place and went off to the region of Tsor and Sidon. A woman from Canaan who was living in there came to him pleading, "Sir, have pity on me, son of David. My daughter is cruelly held under the power of demons." But Yeshua did not say a word to her. Then his Talmudim came to him and urged him, "Send her away because she's following us and keeps pestering us with her crying." See, so they're judging her just as pest, and we don't get, you know, get go. They're not even judging her right as somebody who needs the Father. Someone who they're shortly going to be called out to go in to bring in. And they just discarded her. You know, you can quickly get to where you're discarding the exact call you have in your life because of bad judgment. We have to remember people are people. They have souls. Whether they're pests or not. Whether they're pests or beloved guests. They have souls in their people still. And we always get tested by these kind of things. Was that an angel I just shoo fly, don't bother me? Or not? Were we being tested? Verse 24, he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came, fell at his feet, and said, "Sir, help me." So far, what do we see about this woman?
Persistence.
She's persistent, for sure. Matter of fact, in the verse after this, it talks about being persistent, continuing. What else do we see about her? Where was she from? What's that? Canaan, yeah, Canaan, exactly. So what did that make her? Canaanite. She's a Gentile.
But she's got faith. She even recognizes him as the Messiah.
Right.
She calls him son of
She says, "Son of Sir, have pity on me, son of David, Ben David." So here is a Gentile woman who's using the term Ben David, a term that was designated for the Messiah, right? My daughter's, and she wasn't even coming on her own behalf. Remember we talked earlier about Shaddai, about the cries of the mother are different. My daughter is cruelly held under the power of demons. She wasn't even sick, she was demon-possessed. Canaanite, she's probably had a little Asherah pole and worshiping all kinds of evil and bringing it in and little trinkets there were and idols they were bowing down to, worshiping, etc. Listen to what he said to her in 15:26. He answered, "It is not right to take the children's food and toss it to their pet dogs." Who are the children he's talking about here? The Jews. And toss it to who are the little pet dogs in this vernacular? The Gentiles. I mean, wow, what a thing to say. From Messiah, and I'm coming for you for help, or coming to you for help. So is Yeshua liking her to a little pet dog? Yeah. It's not good for me to take what's for them and give it to you, you little pet dog. In effect, is what he's saying. Because just before that, he said right here in Matthew 15:24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Are you a lost sheep in the house of Israel? No, you're a little dog in the house of the Gentiles, is what he's saying. He doesn't say this, but really we could look at it and say, but don't get offended. Don't get offended. She didn't get offended because she wasn't worried about her, what she was. She was coming there on behalf of her daughter, but not only that, she was more concerned about the Messiah, than the M-E in Messiah, than the M-E in me. That's what she was concerned about. She said, and look what she said. She didn't deny it. She wasn't offended. She said, "That is true, sir. But even the dogs eat the leftovers that fall from their master's table." Even the Gentiles can get a little food that's fallen off the Jews' table, then, you know, just fell off the table, I ate it. Then Yeshua answered her, "Lady, you are a person of great trust. Let your desire be granted," and her daughter was healed at that very moment. And I tell people this all the time, and they don't get it, and they don't believe me when I say it. If you're a Gentile, you need to run into the house of Israel. It's there waiting for you. The house of Israel is not going to come running for you. Not for a long time. They will, but not right now. Even if you're called a little dog or you're viewed upon as a little dog. How insulting. Still run into it. Still run into the house of Israel. This is why we talk so much about our congregation here, about being under Jewish authority. Being grafted into the house of Israel, continually growing, and also loving, respecting, thinking the best of one another, helping one another, because the journey that we're on is not easy. We could be looked down upon as less than, insulted, called little dogs. I've been called worse. I don't care. I go to bed at night and I sleep well. These are the decisions that we have to make, especially during this time. We don't get in someone's way of making teshuvah and run into the Father, running deeper into the house of Israel. No, we keep on moving and helping people where they are to continue to move forward. So all of that being said, I want to close with this. During this month of Elul, and today's the 21st, 21st of Elul, and the season of the Chagim, the holy days, may we all find ourselves more able to judge righteously. And it starts with judging ourselves. For if you will judge yourself, you will not be judged. You will not come under judgment. May we all be careful about judging others, and may we all seek to remove the logs, the roof poles from our own eyes before we attempt to remove the splinters from our brothers. And may we take heed to the instruction of the Father as it relates to helping those who do have splinters in their eyes and do it carefully and righteously and fairly. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time we've had together. We thank you for blessing. I thank you for blessing the ears who've heard it, Lord, that we would not only hear but take this to heart and walk in it, in this, especially in this time. So we thank you and praise you for that, Lord. In Yeshua's name, O God, amen and amen.